The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Shine on all of them. Climb. You were born to win. Don't let them make you colorblind and not adore your skin. Hey, look, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I said, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. If you feel me, say, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Again, I said, let it shine, let it shine.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 17th of November, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Well, listen, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And dear parents and guardians, here's what I want you to do today when you have some free time. I know that's very, very sparingly. When you get some free time with your children, find that song, Shine, by Tobe Nwigwe. Play that with them. Show them how you could cut a rug. Show them how the old folks is do it, how we just bounce to that hip-hop. But play that song for them. See, because they hear that song in primary school. They hear that song in Sunday school. Right, they'll hear that song in a part of their activities. But I bet you they never thought that their parents would rock that song. Like, they never thought that that idea is so important, so vital, that their parents be bumping that with a sweet hip-hop beat behind it. Play that for your children. Play that with your children. Let them hear it. Because our greatest resource in this town is each other. And the light within us, when we let it shine, that's our greatest resource. Anyway, I want to say good morning to Duke from the port, truck driver. How you doing? Now listen, Duke, I's a big woman in a small car. I forget myself sometimes, so when you see me on the road, hail me like I's a big woman in a big car. But don't forget to hail me, because that's the best part of my day. Good morning, Duke, and to... good morning to all the hardworking men and women at the port facility, especially the wonderful staff at The Duke, a.k.a. the Duke of the Topsail. Good morning to you all. I hope everybody is having a good day today. You know who's having a good day today? That pedestrian we almost watched run over on the pedestrian crossing on Cumberland Street. And it's almost as if drivers forget that there's a pedestrian crossing right there. You know who also forgets that Cumberland Street exists? Royal Bahamas Police Force. They have forgotten that Cumberland Street even exists. Because they be like they come right close to it. They hit the border, right? But they refuse. The thought never entered their mind to just turn the corner. Because if you're looking for Christmas revenue, Royal Bahamas Police Force, I have found it. It is sitting waiting for you on Cumberland Street, Duke Street, Blue Hill Road, Cumberland Street intersection is where all the Christmas bonuses sit. I bet you if you get there soon enough, you could even hit up some other government departments with a little extra bub for their Christmas bonus. If you don't believe me, just post a couple of officers there. And if you don't believe us, try putting some of those cameras there. CCTV cameras that we know you have. We wish that you would use. Oh, boy. Listen. Okay. Somebody reminded me. One, we have them. Two, please use them. Three, did you ask if they're working? Anyway. Maybe they're working, maybe they're not. But good morning to all of the hard-working officers in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And good morning to all the not-so-hard-working officers in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the people responsible for you that refuse to ensure that you have the tools and resources necessary to do the job. That's who I'm upset at. I have nothing to do with you. I got two quick notes before we move into the show. A friend mailed Christmas cards and two letters to the U.S. last year, December, from Fox Hill Post Office. And not one of the would-be receivers have received any of the letters as yet. They are not, and they received it. Almost a year later, let me make this point, which has been made by many who saw that post. A dysfunctional postal system is a clear indicator of a dysfunctional and failing government. It is a priority. But more importantly, this state of affairs is an indicator of your understanding and respect for the process of governance. Another point I want to make. Another Facebook friend pointed out that swimming and all organized and formal sporting events will become elitist activities due to the fees associated with participation unless the private and public sectors create and fund policies to ensure equal and equitable access for all. And it made me think that guess what? Access to basic services and goods, access to a decent, not exorbitant, you know, not luxurious, but a decent quality of life will become a luxury if we continue to allow the government to not acknowledge its duty to ensure equal and equitable access to basic needs and services. See, you can't get up in the paper. By the paper I'm referencing today is Nassau Guardian. Looking at the headline, former AG defends FNM's record, where the former attorney general says, quote, the progress we see in the Bahamas on every front, health, economy, budgetary resources, all as a result of things already done and foundations laid by the Free National Movement government. Bethel said on the sidelines of Kwesi Thompson's filing of his nomination for leader of the FNM. Except the last 2 weeks have shown us that maybe we don't have this health thing under control. So I'm not just talking about the fact that there have been no real or substantive, like real moves to enhance or upgrade anything in the public healthcare system. There has been no move to acknowledge even the other aspects of healthcare that must be acknowledged, must be included in your plan for wellness for the country. You want to talk about the pandemic in health, you just want to talk about COVID numbers, hospital beds, negative tests, positivity rate. But you're not talking about the mental and psychological and emotional impact of the pandemic, of government policies associated with the pandemic, with curfews and lockdowns, with loss of income, with loss of movement. How could you sit and claim success after the last 2 weeks of media stories displaying the lived experiences of Bahamians? So, as we move on, I want to ask these questions. how do we exercise our authority and autonomy in spaces and among other people who are also exercising their authority and autonomy? In governance, at the community level, in schools, and in families. How do we exercise our authority and autonomy in spaces and among other people who are also exercising their authority and autonomy? How do we teach this to our children? How do we raise children into healthy adults? What have we learned from our experiences that we can and should use to understand what our children are experiencing right now and to help them navigate the path to adulthood? How do we process the experiences that we had? The good, the bad, and the ugly. To transform not just ourselves, but also our families and communities. These are questions we should have committed ourselves to before the pandemic. And now, we have no other choice. None at all. But that's okay, because this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And when you're feeling powerless, when you're feeling hopeless, when you're feeling overwhelmed, as I know the vast majority of us do, multiple times a day, on a daily basis, just know that you got this little light and you could let it shine. And it's the act of letting it shine, it is the act of wanting more, of reaching for more, of shining, that begins the process of not just healing, but improvement, personal enhancement, and growth. So you got a light, you gotta let it shine.
Shine on all of them.
Shine on all of them.
My Umi said to shine.
We're gonna go to a break. When we come back from this break, I'm gonna bring in my guest for the day so we could continue a wonderful and exciting conversation we started last week. Good morning, Miss Denise Major.
Good morning.
That's all right. So we'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm gonna let it shine. I said this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. If you feel me, say this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Okay. Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. It is Wednesday, November 17th. I just want to share the good word. There are still avocados on the trees. Have no fear, pear is still here. We shall survive. I want to say good morning again to my guest, Denise Major.
Good morning, good morning.
Denise, let me read through a couple of these texts.
No problem.
As we get in. The first text says, great show as usual, Ms. Green. Woman was doing something for over 100,000 years. What need to stop? What they was doing was telling man that the baby is his and knowing the child ain't. A lot of people in Nassau, the daddy ain't the daddy, but the daddy don't know. And when the daddy find out, domestic violence breaks loose. Well, I'm going to say, you're talking about trust. You're talking about sort of the presumption of trust between two people who have been involved in what is perhaps the most intimate act that we'll ever experience, the act not just of sexual intercourse, but the perceived act of creating a child, right? Because this boy thinks that he's created a child with you. And then to discover, not through your honesty or disclosure, but to discover that the child is not his, could be devastating. I mean, absolutely devastating. To a human, to a father, to a mother.
To the child.
To the child. We don't even consider that, like how siblings respond when they find out that you're not really, or you only half, or you were adopted. These things matter to people. You know, when I get into that, that's a fascinating text, right? Because my rule is always this, is I tell men, you have the right to take every step to protect yourself from situations like these. You have every, you know what I'm saying? You can sit down and talk to your partner before you all get married, before you become intimate, before you start dating. You can sit down and have all of these conversations about what is important to you, what's not important to you, about fidelity, all of these things. Protect yourself. Protect your things.
But you also have the right to get angry, but it's what you do in that anger.
Yes.
That's the thing. No one's saying you can't be upset or you can't be angry or hurt about a situation. It's what you do.
Yeah, and how you respond
to
it.
How you respond to it.
Right. And I can show you a vibe. These are sorts of conversations you should have with your partner before you become intimate. Because if it arises, you're going to respond to it differently. Right? First of all, you may be better prepared for the conversation because you've talked it out with yourself and another person. You've identified clearly your boundaries to yourself and to your potential partner. And so you know where your line is. And then you begin to become more aware of behavior and speech that approaches that line. And then, and you, because you're aware of it, you say, hold on, wait, I didn't tell this woman. Honesty, I value that over everything. And I feel like she ain't being honest. And you know what? If I hadn't had that conversation with her before, I may not have thought about it in this way. Anyway, that was an interesting text. There's so much more to talk about in it, though, but I'm going to... Because this whole idea...
That can be broken down into many conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because even in dating, listening to what people say or how they respond to other situations, you don't have to bring it up. Like if something happens, how did they respond to that? Was that the sign that you expected? Is that how you expected them to react? Mm-hmm. Are you capable to receive that from them if the shoe is on the other foot?
Absolutely.
So that might be a sign, hey, maybe this relationship ain't for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why... The dating world here confuses me because, first of all, there's so... It's like espionage. First of all, there's a whole list of things you are not allowed to tell the person that you're trying to date or you're interested in, right? And I find that to be problematic from day one. The process of dating is to get to know someone. So why is there a list of things that you wouldn't talk about? Anyway, God bless you all young people and old people who dating. And to the all old people who dating, I would recommend a chaperone. You'd imagine that? You 45, you 65, and you have a chaperone on your date. But I think that could work.
No, it can't. No, it can't.
Why not?
Let them people be grown. No, it can't.
No, man, because having a chaperone.
What's the purpose of the chaperone?
What a chaperone does is it forces the conversation to remain outside of the sexual realm. Because you got this third party there. It sort of forces you to engage on other levels. Because the presumption is that we're trying to build a relationship with sex and physical and sexual intimacy would be a part of it, right? That's the presumption. But with a chaperone present, we're forced to talk about things like the weather and literature and politics.
And actually getting to know each other.
And relatives and family culture,
yeah.
Right? And personal history. And then you may even talk about financial history. As opposed to cutting your eye at me when I asked the waiter if he could bring a plate, a separate plate. All right. I got another text here. The text says, you're snitching about Blue Hill Road and Cumberland Street. Post office without the mall is expensive and non-profitable. A post office without the mall is expensive and non-profitable. We see postal service is not a profit-making service. Postal service is about a movement of goods, services, and communications. It's not about making a profit. That's like your national air carrier in an archipelagic exterior, right? In the country with an archipelagic exterior. You don't have an national airline to make a profit. You have a national airline to ensure that your citizens have equal and equitable access to services and things, especially since you don't want to put the services in the island. But it's a good text. Another text says we need to know the state of affairs of government before government changes. Of course. What you mean, of course? It's a text about Kwesi. I'm going to get back to the one if you don't mind. Got another text here. It says, it costs $1.25 and the clinic have them for free.
Condoms?
Are you talking about protection, sir? In which case, thank you for that PSA. Did you know that condoms are available for free at clinics and other family planning service providers? Did y'all know that? I just want to put that message out there. Because I care. Got another text here. I saw the video about Rodney Munker. We may talk about that later. Miss Major. Now, I have a list of things here that I want to talk about. I want to talk about consent, a bit about the Sex Offenders Act, the Child Protection Act, but that's not what I brought you here for. I brought you here to hear what you think are the issues that we should be prioritizing at the state level, at the community, and in our sort of social spaces and in our family and community levels.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the funny thing about it is since I was here last, so much has changed. And it's only been 7 days.
Yeah.
Last week we ended the conversation and say, hey, next week we're gonna talk about consent and the Child Protection Act. But again, so much has changed. We have to cover as best as possible everything.
Yeah.
So first off, communication, education. And what's next? Finding solutions and not operating out of anger or fear.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so for me, one of the first solutions I see, even though it may not be short term, is a focus on housing needs as a part of the solution, right? Is that a lot of people who find themselves engaged in what we call domestic violence.
Well, before we even get to housing, we have to identify what the problem is.
Right, okay. Well, let's
go ahead. Identifying the problem. Yeah. And then one of the major problems is that we have a housing crisis.
Right.
And we have seen it from every time we have a major storm where people are uprooted.
Yeah.
So in the past 3 years, we've had Dorian. Mm-hmm. We've had Matthew, like 3 to 5 years. Matthew, Dorian. And then COVID.
Right. And really.
So blow after blow after blow.
And that's really sort of a Nassau-centric perspective because you you're not really encompassing the experiences of people in Grand Bahama.
Well, I am, because don't forget they had to be relocated to Nassau.
Right, but they were dealing with houselessness and homelessness.
Prior to this,
due to storms and other issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the problem there. And then on top of that, so now houselessness due to storms.
Right.
Then we have homelessness due to COVID, right. Loss of jobs, a hit to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these on top of being stuck with each other and dealing with life stresses, all of this is just snowballing into the perfect storm.
Right. And I don't think it's about giving people their own space and make their own rules and I in charge in this space. Because a lot of people, that's not what they need.
Mm-hmm.
What people need is sort of a semi-communal space where they have a great degree of autonomy about their decisions, their day-to-day decisions. But a lot of people...
Where they're safe.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And where they... Most importantly, they need to be safe. So you're not necessarily in charge of your living space, the wider living space. Somebody makes a determination of who can enter this space and who can't.
Yeah.
And what type of activities are safe in this space, right? And so the truth is, we're looking at people... Like for me, I see a bunch of people, they need to be adopted. The whole family needs to be adopted by a family, a functional, healthy, safe family. They don't just need a place to live. They need a degree of oversight. They need somebody who could just sort of lean over and say, yeah, man, Mary, I know you stress out, but let me take the child. I'll watch her for 30 minutes. You go catch a break. Go catch a cigarette. Go catch a shower.
The village, right?
Right, the village. I'll watch a child, right? And they need the experience of that. Not just for it to happen, but they need to get used to it. They need to be able to get used to somebody, you know, somebody saying, hey, I think this is a good decision to make now.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of sitting back and then being able to trust my child with someone who I know is safe because I live with them. And I see the markers that this is a healthy dynamic that my child is in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. So not just affordable housing, but we need sort of...
a safe space, even though I'm tired of the term. A safe space, relatively. But in the meantime, while you have this safe space for your child, what are you doing on this break? How are you healing? How are you bettering yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How are you... functioning
right
now that you have this break.
So
yes, we all just need time to just be and catch ourselves, but at some point we need to figure out like, hey, now I need to figure out my next steps. What's best for me? What's best for my family?
Right.
What's best for these children?
And so like we'd be talking about almost real-time counseling.
Yeah.
Right? That they need somebody to walk with them. And that's why I like the idea of being adopted, right?
Yeah.
Because outside of work, you're spending the majority of your time in this new community space.
And all of that sounds good, but then now you have to look at resources. Because how are we going to fund this? How is this? I am comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I adopt this family. How are we going to manage and pay for all of these things?
Right, I agree. I mean, and that's the biggest thing, right?
Because this is not free, this is not cheap. Yes, I may have been comfortable because I just have me and my three children, and my children are fairly grown, and they're out the house, and we have space. Yes, I see the need that Mary and her children has. I want to welcome them in, but now it's putting a burden on my resources.
Yeah.
And I cannot expect Mary to pay for it immediately or to fund it or anything. Because Mary needs help. Mary needs to catch herself.
Yeah.
So how do we fund this?
Absolutely. And that's it right there. Now,
we need a solution to that.
Right. Now, I say, and this may be controversial, right? But we need to tax web shops. Tax gaming. I say we have a national lottery, proceeds of which we donate to initiatives like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
In England, if you are a registered charity, you go in the pool, you go in the lottery, right? And when every week when the lottery is announced, the winners are announced, a certain portion of the proceeds go to the charities that were selected this week or this month.
Okay.
Right? And I think that's one way we could
do it. So you're looking at an organized tax.
Yeah.
What they're already doing in terms of their annual or monthly donation.
Yeah.
Organized tax.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, we can convince the private sector and the business sector that they are making an investment in employee development. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing is you're investing on the ground level. You're investing when your employee is a child,
yeah,
ahead of the game. And I think that employers will see a great benefit to this. Because
and that's the key, getting people to see that, hey, how this benefits you. Because it does, because you don't want to feel a person or individual or a company to feel as though I'm giving, giving, giving. What do I, because they have to look at the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
What am I getting from all of these donations, good charity, these taxes, this goodwill, whatever you want to call it. What am I getting in return?
Absolutely.
And that's a way to look at it. You're investing in your future employees.
Absolutely. We got a couple of minutes before we go to the break. You ready to go to the break now, Wally? No, no? Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of texts.
Okay.
And then we're going to go into the break. And then I do want to talk about consent for a minute when we come mm-hmm. back on the other side okay. of the break. So first text says, firstly, Aaron, honesty is expected in relationships. I should not have to tell a female not to lie on whom she big up for. I will be more angry if we talked about it and you still do the wrong. So it's not a matter of trust, Aaron, but a matter of lying. Women needs to be criminally punished for such things. Okay, okay. I did run hot just now. I did run very hot. And I want you to know that text. But I pulled it back because this is what I want to say to you. Listen, if you's a young, black, slightly ugly gal, because that's what we like to tell young women when we about to molest them and take advantage of them, you know you ain't the most attractive, so you should just let
we
this
break
thing,
them down.
Right, just let this thing happen, right? Mm-hmm. If you's a woman living in this country and working amongst some of the employers in this country who feel that sexual intercourse is a part of your work interview, dear texter, before you say that again, what I'm going to tell you to do is this. With the greatest respect, you go and you talk to the women in your life, the older women, women from 50, 60, 70, 80. Ask them about the experiences that they had growing up and the experiences of their peers and what it's like to be a woman whose living ancestors were enslaved people. Finally waking, you educate yourself a little bit and you got things moving and you get on this job and some idiot boy who think because he have a suit, a degree and some lotion could look at you and tell you it's time to bend over if you want to keep this job. And what it meant to go through that and then go back into your house and realize that you were pregnant and to figure out what you were going to do next. Don't be cursing your ancestors like that. Some of these people live hard, hard lives. And it's our job to help them process that trauma, those experiences, without judgment. And that's not the vast majority of women.
I just going to say, in defense of the text, we are some trifling people out there.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not talking about the trifling ones who are out there who knowingly have multiple partners and, oops, I got pregnant and, okay, I married, so that's my husband on. Oh, this is my partner or whatever.
But also...
We're not meaning them.
But also, don't just... go.
We're not meaning them. Yeah. In his defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then I know it's a man. In his defense.
But listen, here's what I'm saying. Like, I ain't never born no children, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I was in love... Say I was in love with two men. And one is...
One is the husband, one is the sweetheart.
Oh, no. They're both nice guys, you know.
Okay.
But one is very, very well off. And one is not well off at all. And I mean, like, he well off where it wouldn't even be a bother to him mm-hmm. to take care of another child. I may just tell this boy this.
And that's what he's talking about.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, but you in that moment, you're thinking about the future of your child.
Which is unfair to the partner.
Yeah, and I think it would be unfair to the child too. And some
thank
degrees.
You, because they're yeah. growing up without the relationship of their real father.
Right.
So it's unfair to all of the parties involved.
Yeah.
Except for the woman doing it.
Yeah. You know it's unfair too? Capitalism is unfair.
That too.
And society suggests
it. Because it's making us, not making us, but it's part of the reason why we're making these decisions.
Right. And it makes us think that we could appoint or, you know, put value on people based on how much money they can potentially make in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So you born poor, well, you may be poor the rest of your life. You get treated differently than the child that was born rich or a silver spoon. That's my bad. Thank you. I did forget. Producer, this is the best. We got to go to this break. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back on the clock.
At a time when jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country, there is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We ask the tough questions. We tell your stories. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian. News and views that matter since 1844.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My apologies for that quick and sharp break just now. But guess what? I needed it to jolt some sense back into me. Because this is what the point is that it's the balance of rights. And it's not just the balance of rights, the right of the mother to privacy, to keep the name of the father who I slept with private. It's not just the right of the father to know. It's also the right of the child.
Yes.
And so while we can say, oh, women behaving like this and man behaving like this, it's also important to say that women and men are behaving badly.
Yeah.
And not prioritizing the needs of the child.
Exactly.
In this situation. And so even when we talk about the housing crisis as a part of this problem, it still goes back to parents, caregivers, and guardians that need to prioritize maintaining a safe space in the household, whatever the household looks like for that child.
Because they may find a household that's a roof over their head, that's comfortable, but it's in essence a toxic environment. Mm-hmm. There's yelling, there's screaming, there's neglect, there's like certain situations. Mm-hmm. So all your physical and financial needs are met, but you're suffering emotionally.
Yeah,
so we have to look at that also.
Right. Or there's security.
Yeah.
There's definitely a house, services, bills are paid, internet, water, electricity, no problem. Yeah. There may even be a housekeeper taking care of those needs for younger kids. But there's nobody there for the child to talk to.
No love, no nurturing.
No one to supervise what they're watching, what they're listening to. And they're essentially abandoned in this beautiful space. And other people look at them and say, well, like, you
at least you have a roof over your head.
You have it fine. You weren't molested, but that estrangement from others could be as devastating, right, as abuse.
Yeah. It's a different form of abuse.
Yeah. So before I jump into consent, what do you think the other issues we need to prioritize in this discussion?
Hey, let's deal with consent and let it move.
All right.
Because it's gonna move.
All right. So what is consent?
Okay. In its simplest terms, I can go pull up Google and get it. In its simplest terms, it's when participating individuals are of the legal age, first and foremost, to say, yes, I want to participate in the activity. And let's use sex as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to engage in sexual activity. At first, I must be of the legal age, and I must be a willing participant.
Right.
So in its simplest form, that's what consent is.
Absolutely. So I could tell people live, don't buy me a beer. I can't consent to drinking. I'm a hasty. I'm not allowed to drink. I'm big in 45, and I could say buy me a beer, but I'm not allowed to drink.
Yeah.
And that's just my rule.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's some things, right, where you just don't have, you can't consent to that.
And I could be of legal age, and I just don't want to.
Right.
So no, don't buy me a beer because I don't want it.
Right.
So I do not consent to you purchasing this thing for me because I don't want it.
Right. And I let you know right from the break.
I don't want it.
I'm not into that.
No.
Right. And I've experienced that. Yeah. I've experienced that where I made it clear that I'm not drinking tonight. I'm not drinking. And then somebody comes back and says, oh, it's just very light, you know. It's not much. It's a
Radler. It's just one wine. It's just a Radler. It's just, yeah.
Right. And I have to say to them, are you missing the point, boss? I don't want to drink. I'm not drinking, and I've told you that. And there's nothing that you could do to convince me otherwise. Yeah.
It's that simple.
Now, how do we teach consent?
I mean, that we just gave the perfect example.
Right.
We just gave the perfect example. Like, again, are you, and again, let's stick to sex. We're talking about sex there.
Yeah.
So the legal age of consent in the Bahamas is 16.
Right.
So we're
for heterosexual
relationships.
Intimacy, yeah.
It's 16. For same sex, it's 18. Yeah. So boy, girl, girl, boy, legal age of consent is 16.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, girl, boy, boy. And this is how I talk to my students. I break it down just like this.
Yeah.
The legal age of consent is 18.
Yeah.
You mean the, of course, many conversations come up about it, but hey, this is what it is. This is the legal age of consent in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we break down what it is. We give them different examples, and we gave this perfect scenario just now, and we use drinking as, like, I may want to do this thing, but legally I'm not allowed to do it.
Right.
I'm not allowed to do it. As much as I want to do it and I'm a willing participant, legally I cannot or I should not be doing this thing.
Mm, absolutely. You know, that happened to me in when I went to boarding school. I was 20, and we went on this ski trip. And the administration from the school was like, listen, we know that you are 20 and you're legal age to drink. And the number of you in this upper grade is you're legal to drink in Europe. But we're asking you not to drink. And then they came to me because I was the head acolyte. Imagine that. I was the head chaplain, like the head prefect for the chaplain.
Okay.
And so I looked at them and I said, look here, if you tell me don't drink, I wasn't drinking no-how, so it's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I won't drink. And some of the other girls tried to get me to drink with them because they figured I would make it safer or easier for them to drink. Look at them, I tell them, no, look here. But you're at legal age.
No.
I tell them, man, it's not worth it. I didn't come thousands of miles from home for these people to try calling my mommy to tell on me.
At 20, you said that fair, yeah, mommy. Come on.
Right, but still, you know, and the process
exactly.
and the school and other Bahamians went here, and there was so much riding on it. There was nothing that could.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It really wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's another interesting thing. A lot of adults think that they could play this game with other right-thinking adults and say things like, well, she may have been a minor, but she was already having sex. I know that. So it wasn't no problem.
I watch people like this, you know, like when we post these missing flyers and up, I take a solid note of what is being said by these people. I don't care if she was having sex from she was two. It does not make it right. It does not make it legal.
Mm-hmm.
You are committing a crime. The legal age of consent is 16. End of story.
Right.
Anything before that, you are committing a crime.
Yeah. And like the government tell you no. If it's not enough that your conscience, right, driven by your relationship with faith,
yeah.
Right. Or your relationship with science.
It's
whatever.
Not enough that this child is old enough to be your granddaughter. If that's not enough.
Right.
At the bottom line, the various thinnest of the bottom line, it's against the law.
Right. And I just know is the answer.
Know is the answer.
But why is it hard for adults to understand? Well, I mean, I guess we know why, because we've been there. And it's a part of what I said in my intro, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested in this space where adults have difficulty allowing young people to be naturally sexual beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of the kids, you hit puberty, you start exploring your body, there may be some masturbation, there may be experimentation among children of the same age. But why do adults think when they see that, it means that they now have the right to get involved?
That's a question we're all asking. Why?
Well, I think
and it's
see,
a power play. It's it's about power.
Right. And but it's also, I think, about an inability to reconcile with past experiences.
That too.
To be able to reconcile with what was actually a traumatic event, you have to make yourself believe that you had a degree of agency and autonomy in that situation. And I made these decisions. And if I could make these decisions, then this young child, who was the age I was, could make these decisions too. And I think it's a function of our personal dysfunction.
I want to be careful not to paint everyone with the same brush, though. Yes, that is can be a situation for some persons.
Yeah.
But other people just don't care.
Yeah.
They're just predators.
Yeah.
I don't care. I was never molested. I was never assaulted. This is the what I want to do, and I'm choosing to do this.
Yeah.
So we have persons on that on that side of the spectrum also. They just don't care. Right.
And some people, even if it's rooted in dysfunction, they're still conscious of it.
Yeah.
They said they know what they're doing is wrong, and they know they can stop. And I think that's the difference. There are people who may have a compulsion they can't control. And then there's some people who know exactly what they're doing. We're looking at you. I'm looking in the corner. Mm-hmm. We're looking at you, dirty boy them. We're looking at you, rapey boy them. You know,
rapey gal them too,
and rapey gal them too.
We, and I don't know why I'm defending our men as much, because I have to recognize and we need to understand that predators are male and female. We have men and women preying on our children, preying on each other.
Yeah.
Women rape also.
Yes.
So it does exist. Yes, a lot of it is men abusing and raping, but we have women predators also.
Right, and we think, okay, well, she can't beat up no man. She can't beat me up, which means she's a predator. The violence is played out in many, many ways.
They were stimulated, so they want it.
Yeah. Not understanding that men can have a physiological response.
And that's normal.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I wanted it.
Right.
Females have the same response. That doesn't mean that they wanted to, especially when no was clearly said, or if they are not of the legal age.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good. Yeah, it's important to include men in this conversation and to show the balance, right? But for me, you know, when I ask the question of how do we teach consent, even though we're talking about sex at a reasonable adult age, you know, I think it's important to recognize that we prepare our children for lessons about consent in the home, in the way that we discipline, in the way that we engage, in the decision-making processes in our homes. And I think that we are doing a disservice to our children, because we're diminishing their capacity to understand consent, because we diminish their opportunity to practice consent.
Because I was just going to ask, do we really do this in Caribbean homes? Do we do this in the Bahamas? When a child says that, hey, I don't want to do this thing because I don't like it, do we as parents force them to do it just because I'm the adult and I say so? Or do we actually listen to them and allow them to be autonomous and be like, no, I don't want to do this, without viewing them as being disrespectful or rude?
Right. And not wanting to be embarrassed by their behavior. But you got to figure out why they don't want to go to that auntie's house, because maybe that uncle or maybe that neighbor, you know?
I just don't feel comfortable. I was taking my daughter somewhere, and by the time I get to the corner, mommy, come back for me, please. I was like, what happened? Well, I turn around immediately, but I'm on the phone. What happened? Oh, I just get a vibe from here. Come pick me up, please.
Yeah.
And I went and got my child.
I watched a great movie with my niece the other day called Yesterday. But listen, I got a caller on the line, and we're almost out of time. So let's get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Excellent program. It's kind of silent, but it's excellent program. And I wish the age of consent would have been 18 or 21. And even with that, consent is essential.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We have a lot of people advocating for the raise of the age of consent. I want us to really think about what that would mean. I'm not saying I'm for it or against it, but let's look at the implications of raising the age of consent. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, it was 12, then it was raised to 14, now it's 16.
Mm-hmm.
In our country, children have to be in school by law until the age of 16.
Mm-hmm.
At 16, I can decide, hey, I don't want to go to school anymore for whatever reason, drop out work, go get a trade, something, I can leave school. So what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for this child? Well, this young adult, essentially. So you're now telling this young adult who is of age, technically, that they cannot, who are paying their own bills, yeah. or who's off in college or mm-hmm. trying to become a young adult that, no, mm-hmm. you can't do this.
Yeah. How do you do it?
How do you do it?
You could drive.
You can right? drive.
But you can't decide whether you want to have sex or not.
You can consent to have sex, but you can't protect yourself.
Right. You can't get access to healthcare services. Right.
You can't get birth control. You can't get testing done. But you can say, yes, I want to have sex. Mm-hmm. So all of these things we need to look at the implication of. And for me, having experiences recently with clients of mine, we need advocates for our young people in that age between 16 and 18. Mm-hmm. So that when they, yes, I'm having sex. I know I'm having sex. I know I need to protect myself. When I show up to this medical facility, I need to be able to access these services.
Yeah.
So someone needs to be in place to explain it to them, to act on their behalf, and ensure that they get the services that right. they need.
And let me say, the problem isn't the child, the minor, the sexual minor. It isn't the minor that is developed into their sexuality. The problem isn't the child that is sexually active. The problem is the adults and the culture that they perpetuate that suggests that little children, that minors, that people younger than them, emotionally, physically, chronologically, psychologically, that those people are open game. Let children be children.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to make that point about the importance of us adults doing the work, looking back into the past at our lived experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to be honest with ourselves so that we could be honest with these young people and the other adults who think that they could make a mockery of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my producer. That means we're out of time. That also means we got to continue. This got to be a series, Denise. It has to be a series. Let me tell you why. Because we don't get to talk or to hear conversations about these things enough.
And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. So we got to come back. Producer, give me 20 seconds. Text us. I'm going to try. Excellent. Let children be children in or out of school. Absolutely. Great show as usual. If I have a daughter, I would tell her the legal age of consent for sex is 49. My Grammy told me I couldn't drink till I was 35, and I believe her up until 19. Man, this ain't about no right of woman, man, or child. It's about the right period. Tired of women doing things that provoke men to sleep in police hands. Hollett, dear sir, you could protect yourself by a thorough examination, investigation, and interrogation of the woman that you are interested in before you engage in an intimate relationship of any kind. Protect your things. Anyway, I gotta go. Texas, I'm sorry I didn't get all of you. Join us tomorrow. It's Men's International Forum discussion. Thanks to my producer. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. Thanks to Denise Major. We're gonna have you back soon. You are on the clock. Gotta go. Have a great day, Bahamas.